Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15. You can follow along on the screens or open it up in your Bible, your iPad, your phone, whatever you read the Bible with. Hebrews chapter 6, 13 through 15. For when God made a promise to Abram, because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you." And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. There's power in a promise. In this passage of scripture, it's talking about Abraham, a man that God selected and chose and called to be the father of nations, and said, "In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you." But just because God spoke it doesn't mean it happened overnight. The Bible says, and after patiently enduring, he obtained the promise. There are some things in life that you just have to wait for. There are some things in life that are going to take what we don't like to talk about, T-I-M-E. Some things just take time. But after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This morning, the encouragement for us is simple, and is this: that God has some promises and possibilities. That there are some promises and possibilities for your life. And I want to help you to understand, God isn't just going to give you a promise, but there's possibility wrapped up in every promise. There's possibility for your future and your family and your finance. There's possibility for the steps that God has called you to take. There's possibility for your health. There's possibility for those little children that you're trying to raise, wondering, am I doing it right? Can I really do the best here? Is there really a way for me to do it? But there's possibility anytime God gives a promise. And I want to encourage you to understand the promise and the possibility. How many of you have children? Let me see your hands. All right. How many of you at least were a child at one point? Okay. You got to relate somehow, right? It's like one time I asked people, how many of you, you know, have ever, you know, seen the Olympics? Half the crowd raised their hand. I said, how many of you know how to run? A whole crowd raises their hand, right? We have to find common ground sometimes. So as a child, one of the things that you recognize is that when your parents are talking to you, sometimes your parents make promises. And even though parents can forget promises, children never do. Just a while back, my son, we told him we was going to take him to go visit his grandparent and visit his grandma. And so we told him on 7 days earlier, hey, next weekend, you're going to go to grand-grand's house. And so he was so excited about it. The problem was I didn't have very much wisdom in that moment because I told him too early. So the next day came around, he wanted to know, is it Saturday? I said, no, it's not Saturday. The next day came around, I said, is it Saturday? No, it's Monday. And the next day, is it Saturday? No, it's Tuesday. He knew what day of the week it was, but for some reason he kept asking because he just couldn't wait. The anticipation was there. I want to go to grand-grand's house. And so every day he was asking this. Then Saturday came around. I completely forgot. I'm laying in bed. He jumps in my bed early Saturday morning and he says, today is the day. How you know what I'm talking about? As parents, it's Saturday morning, you're tired, you don't want to go anywhere, it's not time for soccer or anything, and you're just laying there enjoying at least 10 minutes without, you know, uninterrupted sleep, and then they jump in and they want to do something, and in that moment I said, what is today? Today's the day I get to go to grand-grand's. Now that was not exciting to me. It's fine that he goes to his grandma's, but that means I got to get up, I got to get ready, I got to get in the car, and I got to drive him to grand-grand's. I did not want to do any of those things. And then he looked at me and I said, do you really, what if we just go another time? Trying to pass it off. Maybe he'll forget. And he said, no. You promised. Haven't you ever been there before? There is power in a promise. So what did I do? I got up. I got ready. I got in the car. And I took him to grand-grand's. Sometimes we need to remember there's power in the promises. And as we read the Bible, that's not just, you know, like the Iliad and the Odyssey from Greek mythology. This is not just, you know, Homer. This is not just, you know, Huck Finn. This is not just a story. This is not just a book that's like, oh, that was a good story. I read a good book one time. It's not similar to that. No, this is the Bible. This is God's word. And written on the pages of this book or digitized in your phone are 3,574 distinct promises at the minimum. That means there's at least 3,500 promises in that book for your life. And the promises were not given to frustrate you about what's not happening in your life. The promises of God were given to motivate you of what's possible for your life. To motivate you to understand that God cares about all aspects of your life. He cares about the direction of your life, the friends in your life. He cares about bringing the resources that you need for your life. He cares about marriage and he cares about family. He cares about health. He's given us promises, not so that we can be discouraged and say, oh, I wish. No, he's given us promises to help us to understand that as I connect with God, that which is impossible can become possible. There's always possibility wrapped up in the promise that God gives us. Just turn to somebody right now and tell them promises and possibility. In this particular passage of scripture in Hebrews, it's referencing to Abraham. Now, if we look back in the beginning of the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, we see in chapter 12 of Genesis where God speaks to Abraham and he gives him this commandment. This is the first time when we hear God speaking to Abraham about who he is and what he's called to do. And God says that I will bless you and I will multiply you. And God says you'll be the father of many nations. Now, when Abraham heard that, the Bible says he believed and he left. He went after what God had called him to do. The problem was he didn't have a nation and he didn't have any children. So how can you be the father of anything if you are not the father of a child? How can you lead a nation if nobody is following you? He had a problem, but yet he had a promise. Friends, I want to encourage you. Sometimes your problem is bigger, and if you just look at your problem, then you'll forget the promise. And if you forget the promise in the midst of your problem, you'll never see the possibility on the other side. So Abraham had to step out and go in the direction of what God was saying, even though he didn't see it. So what is it maybe in your life that God wants to fulfill that you have just failed to realize the promise and you've lost maybe the sense of possibility? You've lost the sense of possibility because you look at your situation and you say, it's impossible. You look at that business and say, it's impossible. You look at that relationship and say, they're impossible. You look at that circumstance and say, it's impossible. But what I love about the Bible is it doesn't speak to just what is. It speaks to what is possible. It doesn't speak to, say, oh, yeah, it's impossible. God doesn't come in and say, oh, it's impossible. I'm sorry. It's impossible. I made a mistake. No, no, no. In fact, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, that no thing with God, no thing shall be impossible. So when God has a plan or a purpose specifically attached to his promises, he sees it not as impossible, but as possible. In fact, this is a revelation that really changed my life, that for God, the supernatural is just natural. Isn't that something? That what we think is impossible, God just says, no, that's possible. Well, God, I've never seen that happen before. I've never seen anyone do that before. I don't know how you're going to bring the money. I don't know how you're going to fix that situation or mend that relationship. And God says, you think it's impossible, but the scripture says, for with God, no thing shall be impossible. So I wonder today, what is the no thing that you have maybe incorrectly labeled and said, oh, that's impossible. You can't fix that in my life. No, no, no. You don't know where I'm from. You don't know what I've been through. If you knew what I've been through, if you knew what I'm in the middle of, you wouldn't say it's possible. But I want to encourage you, God knows exactly what you've been through. He knows exactly what you're in the middle of, and he still says it's possible. So what's possible? Well, what's possible is what God has promised. because there's always possibility wrapped up in his promises. So I found this in my own life when Sarah and I, about 10 years ago, before we moved here to start this church, God spoke to us about moving to the mission field. And so we moved back in the end of 2008. We moved to the mission field. We lived there for a few years. But when we launched out, we only had enough money raised up and enough support to live there for 3 years. Now, I don't know if you have understood this yet, but if you don't have any money, you don't have any ministry. If you don't have any money, you can't live, right? Just try going a month without paying your rent, without putting gas in your car, without buying food. You're not going to make it very far. So you got to have money, even though you are following God. You also have to have some resource that lines up with what you're following. And so we were there. We had enough money to live for 3 months, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how God was going to come through. As we were getting closer to the time, I saw the money going down. I saw, you know, no more money coming in. And I thought, man, what's going to happen? But then I shifted my focus. And instead of looking at the deficit, I started to look back at the promises. And I remembered that I'd grown up giving, I'd grown up sowing, I'd grown up, you know, helping other people. And I started to look for promises about prosperity, about blessing, about increase. And I was taught early on in Sunday school that as I give, it is given back to me. The Bible says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will God give back to me, and will men give unto me. And so I began to confess those promises. I was looking for possibility in the midst of the situation, in the midst of the problem, and I was remembering the promise. I was standing on the promise that says, everywhere I go, I prosper. I was standing on the promise that says, everything I put my hand to, it prospers. I was standing on the promise that says that God has given me favor with him and with men. I mean, if I could find a promise in the book, I was believing it for my life, whether anyone told me it or not. And you know what? At the end of those 3 months, it was somehow miraculous because there was enough provision to make it a fourth month and a fifth month and a sixth month. And as I looked back at the finances, it wasn't just enough. It was actually more than enough. And this is the thing that I realized in that. What I was labeling as impossible on the front side, God saw the possibility at the end. He saw, oh yeah, I'm going to send this person and they're going to give you that much. And I'm going to send this person, they're going to bless you. I'm going to bring this across your path. I didn't see any of those things. But how often we get lost in the middle of the journey because we don't know what's really possible. And the Bible says in Hebrews, the first scripture we read, that after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I wonder today what's on the other side of you patiently enduring. What is the promise that God wants to make possible in your life? Three things I want you to remember today in understanding the promises. Number one, God is able. Sometimes we don't see the possibility in the midst of the promise because we forget that God is able. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 that now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works on the inside of us. Sometimes we just need to simply remind ourselves that God is able. The Bible says in this verse, the power that works in us. It's a reminder that God is not just up there, but God lives on the inside of you. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 11 that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. The same spirit that raised his lifeless body out of that grave is the same spirit that he has put on the inside of you. And the same Holy Spirit will equip you for every emergency and for all things that he's called you to do. So sometimes you just need to remember that God is able. God's able to fix this situation. Just tell somebody right now, God is able. Come on, tell somebody else, God is able. The second thing we need to understand is God is not only able, but God is willing. There's a story in the Bible in Matthew chapter 8 where a leper, an outcast from society, he came to Jesus one day knowing that the master could help him, but not knowing if the master wanted to help him. And he asked a question in Matthew chapter 8. He said, Lord, are you willing to heal me? And Jesus looked at that leper and he reached out his hand. He said, I am willing, be thou made whole. And he touched that leper. And the Bible says immediately he was cleansed. So if you've wondered, is God willing to help you? I mean, does he even care? Does he want to help you? I mean, he could help a lot of people, but really, does he want to help you? And I say yes. Yes, he does. Jesus demonstrated who God is when he walked this earth. He was fully God and fully man. So he was our representation of what God wants to do in our lives. And friends, God is a good God. The devil is bad. God wants to help you. God wants to bless you. God's not trying to take you out. He's not looking for the first opportunity to squash you and to kill you and to, you know, remove you from the equation. No, God wants to bless your life. God wants to help you because you were created in the image of God, according to Genesis 1 and verse 26. So you need to understand, I'm created in the image of God. God loves me. God has a plan for my life, and God is willing to help me. God is willing to fix situations in my life. So not only is God able, but God is willing. And then the third thing you need to remember, if we understand he's able and he's willing, is that he's faithful. God is faithful. Listen to what the Bible says about the faithfulness of God. I love this scripture where it talks about the faithfulness of God in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God." Isn't that great? Know that your God is God. In other words, he's not just another God, he's the God. He's not just a way, he is the way. He's not just part of the equation, he is the whole equation, all right? He's not a slice of pie, he's the entire pie. In fact, he created the pie. So know that your God is God. So whatever thing has tried to, you know, become bigger in your life, just know God's bigger than that. Whatever thing has tried to overwhelm you, know that God is bigger than that too. God is greater than whatever it is, and he is faithful. Listen to what it says. He is not only God, he is the faithful God who keeps his promises. What a great word. It says, know that God is God. He's the faithful God, and he keeps his promises. Someone here just needs to hear that today, that God's going to keep his promises to you. God's going to keep his word to you. In fact, Genesis 18, verse 14, in the middle of Abraham and the situation with no children, thinking his wife is barren and childless, God comes to him and speaks to him and asks him a question. I believe it's a rhetorical question because he gives an answer right after he asks the question to Abraham. He says, "Abraham, is anything too hard for your God?" Isn't that interesting? He's talking about himself. God is asking him about God. He says, "Abraham, is anything too hard for your God?" And it's like, Abraham, I can imagine, well, my wife's barren. You said I'm going to have a child. I'm going to be a father of many nations. I have no nation. And now I'm here. All I have is you. And you're giving me this promise. I've gone after it, but I don't see any possibility. And then God shows up and says, "Hey, Abraham, you're getting off focus again. I know you're doing good. You're keep going in the journey. Is anything too hard for me? Hello, I created everything. Is anything too hard for me? No, in fact, nothing is too difficult for you." And then it says this right after that in Genesis 18, verse 14. "For at the appointed time." At the appointed time. That means there's a due date for your miracle. At the appointed time, your wife's going to have a son. What was burdening him, God was trying to remove and say, "You know what? It's just going to take you some time. Don't worry. You're headed in the right direction. But remember, there's possibility on the other side." Sometimes things just get mixed up in the process. Have you ever traveled and you went and checked your bags in, and your bags somehow didn't make it to your destination? That happened this summer when we were in East Africa. We're traveling from Kenya to the country of Uganda. We tagged our bags. We got on the airplane. We ended up in Uganda, went to the baggage claim to find the bags, and guess what? No bag. My friend's bag was missing, and my bag was there because I carried a carry-on. And so we went over to the place. That's just some travel wisdom. And so we went over to the lady, and we tried to figure out where his bag was. And she said, "Oh, I found your bag." And we're thinking, that's great. It's on another belt, you know, in the airport. And she says, "It's in another country." That's not good news. It went to Burundi, not to Uganda. And we asked her, "Well, how did it end up in Burundi? Was there some mistake?" She says, "No, it says right here, it was tagged to go to Burundi." "Are any of you going to Burundi today?" I said, "No, we're going to Uganda. That's why we're here." A little mistake changed the trajectory of that course. So think about this. What is it maybe in life that, if it's incorrectly labeled, can lead to the wrong destination? Maybe in your situation, you have incorrectly labeled something. Maybe you're like Abraham. You say, "Oh, my wife's barren." And God comes with a promise and says, "No, what you've labeled as barren, I say is blessed. What you say is final, I say it's not over. What you say has been hopeless, God labels and says, no, there's still hope. What is it maybe in your situation that you've incorrectly labeled today because you've forgotten the promise and so therefore you're missing the possibility? What if you've labeled something or yourself as ruined? And God says, you're my creation. What if you have labeled your situation and say, I'm broke, and God says, no, you're blessed. What if you say, well, I can't go on anymore, says God. God speaks to you and says, no, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Today, my encouragement for you is to get the right label for your situation. Don't just label it according to what you feel or see or what has been said, but label it according to what God says. Get some promise labels and see possibility on the other side. Because the Bible says that God changed the label over Abraham's wife, and eventually she had the son. He became the father of many nations. So I wonder what's in your future, that if you just adjust the label, it will make it to the right destination. Remember this today. There's always possibility wrapped up in the promises that God has given you. I want to pray for you today. Would you stand to your feet all over this place?